Today, and I've got a title here, Our Minds is God's Greatest Gift. Our Minds is God's Greatest Gift. That is in the creation of man. Remember that we are created and made in His image. And so in His creation, in making us in His likeness and image, the greatest gift He's placed within man is our minds, our brains. And of course, externally, the greatest gift that we have is, of course, salvation in Jesus Christ. But the mind is very instrumental in that great gift that Jesus has given to us, as we're going to see today as we open the scriptures. And we're going to look at this in Isaiah 26 and Isaiah 26 and verse 3. Isaiah 26 and verse 3, which we all know very well. Here he says, "You will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on you, because he trusts in you." And then he goes on, "Trust in the Lord forever, in Yahweh, the Lord is everlasting strength," and so on. And this is their song of salvation, their victory that they're singing here before the Lord. And very much they bring in mind man's mind, the mind of man. Because our minds are the greatest gift, it should be devoted entirely to Him. Therefore, because it is God's greatest gift in our creation, being made in His likeness and image, therefore, it should be devoted entirely to Him. And there's a reason for that, because the mind, our brains, take in everything that God is saying to us and doing with us. And little wonder that our minds are a battlefield. Little wonder our minds are under attack by the powers of darkness, because they are trying to hinder you from experiencing God. You who are made in the image of God. That was the tragedy at the fall, that Satan had access now into man's mind. And now man had a decision, a choice, of whether he continues to allow God's seed to be sown into man's mind, or the enemy's seed, which are lies and deceptions. That is the tragedy. However, we look to the cross, we look to redemption, we look to what Jesus has achieved at the cross of Calvary, And we know that our minds can be restored and brought back for God. So, like as you offer yourself a living sacrifice to God, Romans 12, 1 and 2, you're also offering on that altar your mind to God. That is actually what you're doing. I know we're offering our body because obviously we walk around, we do things and so forth, but what you're really doing is you're offering that greatest gift. You're giving back now through salvation. I give my mind, my whole entire being, into your sovereign hands. My mind now is your mind. It is the mind of Christ, which the Apostle Paul said. So we have now the mind of Christ, and we appropriate that by faith. And we're going to, of course, remind ourselves of that in 2 Corinthians. In 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 5. Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 5. Casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. So we have determined in our commitment, with our walk with God, the deeper life which we preach, we have settled that every thought, imagination that is contrary to God, to his will, to his word, I choose to cast it down. And it means that I choose to do that. God isn't going to now wave a magic wand that every time you think a wrong thought, he's going to come there and cast it down for you. He is not. He has given you the power and the ability to cast that down in the name of Jesus. It's whether we want to or not. And we also know that the heart and the mind are connected. As a man thinks in his heart, so is he. So you are the sum total of your thinking, your thoughts. So if you are thinking anger, resentment, unforgiveness, you are that at that time. And therefore you have the ability, the power to cast it down. We can say that confidently because our faith says we have the mind of Christ. And the enemy tries to tell you that you can't, that it's a part of you, or you're justified, or whatever it would be. I want to say on record, no born-again Christian, spirit-filled, who's committed a disciple of Christ, has any right to bear resentment and forgiveness. It's not a part of us. Whatever has happened, whatever is said, I have no right as a believer to harbour and hold on to those thoughts. And once you settle that and you agree with that, you are going to then have the grace and mercy of God to deal with it. And this is why we have these giants who still hold the land, who are still robbing us, just what our brother shared this morning. When we settle it, that a believer has no right to any of those things, we're on the way to victory. It's just we're still battling with God, and we can't settle it. And that's what he's bringing us to. He's bringing us to those areas, to these giants that we have to face, and we have got to settle it. That is not a part of my life. I am a new creation in Christ Jesus. I have his love. I have his spirit. I have everything that is about Christ lives, resides in me. It's not a part of him. And we somehow still try to just take it as far as we can, that we can just still hold on to the old ways. But the old ways are gone. That's the lie. If you truly are committed and have put your hands to the plough and are going forward, It isn't a part of you. Let God work out how he's going to deliver you, how he's going to change your heart, your affections over those things, those idols, those lusts, or whatever it is. You just simply settle it. The problem is, the enemy tries to say, you're not going to get free from this. You've always been like it. Your mother was like it, and she was like it. It goes back to the third generation. There's the lies. That's where he lies, and we listen to it. And because we still feel like it, and it still goes on in my life, well, it must be true. And who can deliver me, O wretched man that I am? Well, praise God, even the Apostle Paul wrestled with that one. But the point is, we are. It's what God has said, as we have heard this morning from our brother. Doesn't matter what you're feeling, doesn't matter what you're going through, as you read these promises, this is what God has said. And I choose to believe it. And God will begin to work it. God will begin to work the deliverance. God will begin to work the change, the affections. We have to, yes, we have to do it so that when these thoughts or these things are happening and attacking our minds, I choose not to believe that. Satan, go in the name of Jesus, for I have the mind of Christ, redeemed, covered by the blood of Jesus. You've got to say it sometimes. You've got to speak it sometimes. Absolutely, it is the sword of the Spirit. I know those battles. And yes, sometimes we are justified. Absolutely. And it looks as though, you know, when somebody's done the wrong or whatever it is, why does it seem as though they triumph? Look what they have done. And walk away as though, you know, look at me, I've won again, I've got the victory, you know, all proud and puffed up, and they've done wrong to you and so forth. I know it hurts. You read the Psalms, it's full of it. Why do the wicked prosper? Why does it seem as though they get away with it? And here we are, wanting to get it right, do the right thing and so on. You even see it in life. And we were seeing it right now, aren't we, in politics. All about tax, isn't it? Why should the fat cats get away with it? And here we are, we're the ones paying our taxes and so forth, and they get away with it because they're so powerful and strong and wealthy. You get it in the world. And you get it right in this walk as well. Why? They're the ways of God. It's not up to you and I to ask that. God doesn't get it wrong. God is always right. And I know it's not easy. I know it's not easy to see the injustice, to see the poor, the destitute, are the ones that are targeted so often. It is always the innocent that seem to get hurt. I know that. And it can be so hard. You can feel that anger, resentment rising up. But you've got to say, the blood of Jesus over my mind, it isn't a part of me. There is a bigger picture in this. I just don't see it yet. But I will. You see? Like the flowers God showed me. Sometimes they're closed. But they're there. It's all there. And when the conditions are right, they open up. And there's the colours. There it is. And you think, no, it hasn't changed. It's still there. It's all the seasons that we go through. As Ecclesiastes tells us. But our minds is God's greatest gift that he's given to us. Therefore, we allow that fortress to be placed around our minds, our whole being. As we know in Ephesians 6, of the whole armour. That helmet of salvation. Why is it called the helmet of salvation? Because it's what you put on and it reminds you, you are saved. Because there are times in our lives where we have to question, am I really saved? Am I really a Christian? And as this goes on and so on, go back to that helmet. It's on if you want it on. It's there. It's there. But is our mind stayed on God, or is it starved? And that's the question. And I think the enemy has really tried to push us down. He's tried to bring apathy, depression. Just look what's happening, you know. And I've been bringing it up. And what he does with those accusations, they're so subtle, you start to become starved. You're no longer quite listening to God as you did. You're no longer sort of looking at the word and praying over it. And it's just, everything's just become a routine. I'm doing it religiously because, you know, that's what God wants. And what he's trying to do there, he's trying to starve the mind which you have, which is the mind of Christ. Because our experiences, our quickenings, our everything that we go through, of course, has to channel through the mind. The mind and the heart and the spirit, they're all connected. That's why we have the parable of the sower and so on. All again is connected with the mind. How you're listening, how you're taking it in, and so on. So our minds are stayed on God. And if it's not, then we become starved. You see, starvation of the mind is the cause for weakness and spiritual exhaustion. Many who get spiritually exhausted do because they've allowed the mind to become starved. And so when the mind starts to become starved, you are going in overdrive. Because you know something's wrong, things are not working, so you're going in overdrive, trying to please God, trying to perform, trying to be that Christian, trying to do the right thing, and in the end you're absolutely exhausted. I can't go on like this. What is going on? What's happening? Your mind is under attack. That's what's happening. And the mind is blocked, so the spirit, the heart, is not being fed. Comes back to the parable of the sower. You're not feeding from God. You're not feeding from the word. This is why our meetings are so important. This is why God brings us together. Because as I've always said, this is your food, spiritually. This is to stop us from starving. And this is why we have in Christendom so many who are bound up in works, good works. Good works are a classic sign that they are starved. The mind is starved. They're not feeding from the word. So that religious side in us that soon rises up and takes over, well, I've got to please God, else I'll be, you know, struck down dead. So we start doing things to please God. That's how it happens. Isn't the devil clever? Isn't he subtle? That's why he comes like an angel of light. But praise God how God exposes him week after week when we come here. But are we going to do something about it when he exposes it? That's the question. That's the question. But God isn't going to do this. We have to decide to turn our eyes, our thoughts away from all those idols. Let's turn to Isaiah 45. Isaiah had a lot to say about idols with Israel. Isaiah 45 and verse 22, which says, "Look to me and be saved, all you ends of the earth, for I am God, there is no other." What did he say to Israel? Renew your minds, stop looking to those idols, and look to me and be saved. That is exactly what we're doing today. We're here today because we are saved and we are being saved, as the Greek shows us, and we look to him today to be saved. And how does he save us? By working, renewing our minds, speaking to us. Because that's how we're made. That's how he's created us. That's why your mind is God's greatest gift. Do you know medical science, I'm told, knows still very little about the human brain? They long to know more. They're desperate learning more, you know, medically about the brain and everything. But there's still masses that they still don't understand about the human brain. Why? Because it was made for God. It was made so that we could understand, that we could appreciate him, that we could see God, his glory. That's why it's a mystery, man's brain, his mind, in that sense. The Bible has much to say about the mind of God, of man. You see, I've just thought about it. These things come as you preach. If we're made in the image of God, which we are, and God has put a brain, a mind, into man, if we're made in his image, and we don't know the mind, the brain, I mean, there's so much just a man's brain, if we're made in his image, God has a mind. So if we're talking of God's mind, wow. I mean, you'll never know that. You'll never know. So do you get that understanding? Can you see? And can you see that is why Satan attacked it? He knew. The only way I'm going to get hold of God's creation, I've got to attack their minds. And that's why we're under deliverance, brothers and sisters. And let God do it. He'll do it. He really will. As he would not be sharing this with us this morning. But you see, our minds should be used in service to God and no longer thinking the negative, no longer being impulsive or whatever it is, no longer unbelief, because what you think is what you are. So I want to think what God says about me, what his mind. If I want to know something of God's mind, here it is, it's the word of God. That's what it tells me. And that tells me to meditate, to think upon, to confess. And that's God's mind. And therefore, that's God's mind, his will. That is also my mind and will. And as we heard, all these promises of God's healing and provision and everything, he doesn't even want us to be mindful of those things. I tell you, if we really embrace this and take this fully on, with what God's doing, it's not even going to be that debatable even about healing. It's all part of provision. Amen. And God's giving. It's what we expect, it's what happens, it's what we see in our meetings, the dead raised, the cripple walk, the demons cast out. It's the norm.
Yeah, that's right.
And that's what he's renewing our minds, delivering our minds to. And then we shall start to see the greater works coming. We shall be mind-blowing. There'll be great blessing. Because these promises are yes and amen in Christ Jesus. And have you noticed something over the last 6 months? How God is getting our vision, our attention back to what? The cross.
Amen.
Have you noticed that? I have. Thank God for that. Because every answer, every need, every question... the cross. That is it. That is it. So we're no longer gripped, held anymore, because our minds are for God's service, for God's work. And as we think upon those things, as we think those good thoughts, godly thoughts, harmonize our mind and thinking with the word of God, you are going to live it. If you are living God's word that by his stripes I'm healed, you're going to live it. If you live and read and meditate and take in all these promises that we read and the gifts that he's given to us, and each one of us has a gift, we're going to be living it. That's why the early church lived it. That's why they laid hands upon the sick and they were healed. That's why they cast out the demons. You wait when our brother Bob comes back next week. You're going to be blessed with what you're going to hear, his testimony. My goodness me, he's just told me a little of it. He spoke to me the other day on Skype and I cried. I cried with joy with what's going on there. And God has blessed that brother with the gift of faith in operation. He said, Kim, I can't doubt. It's God believing through me. And I'll tell you, and God is no different in Kenya than he is here. You know, I know the conditions are different. I know that we've got everything in the West. We're spoilt. We've got everything at our disposal. But the point is, the cross does not change. The promises of God do not change. And I'm finding myself, I don't want to listen anymore. Well, that's the reason why the Holy Spirit doesn't move. It's because it's this, this, this. It might be. It might be. There's something in me can't accept that. I can't accept it. If I know something about my God, he's not limited to that. There's needs everywhere. The needs are just different. I would say the needs are even more depraved in the West. It's just covered up in a different way. You see? No, no, we mustn't fall for any of this. God is going to move. And he is going to move in this assembly because we expect him to. We believe him to. That is his nature. That is God. Because he's God, that's what he does. That should be our answer. Because he's God, that's what he does. And he will heal. He will deliver. He will save. He will add to this assembly. Because he's God. Period. Doesn't matter what's happening, the conditions, or what's happening in this country or in our area. Of course they are. But God is still God and he still does what he does. Period. But we're still questioning it. We're still analysing it. We're still adding the old psychology. We mustn't do it. I know I've done it. I've done it. I've limited him. As though we know everything. We don't. Who knows the mind of the Lord? Who knows his ways? I don't know anything unless God reveals it to me. And I can only share to you this morning what I believe God's revealing to me. So, our minds should be used for his service. Our minds should be used for believing him and his word. Our minds should be used, period, and expect it, because you have the mind of Christ. And when these wrong thoughts are there, or whatever the enemy is trying to suggest, what, you know, just say, this isn't a part of me. This is not the mind I have. I have the mind of Christ. I have not been saved to be oppressed with all of this rubbish. Sometimes we have to just take that stand. I know the enemy, you know, says, oh, well, you're saying that, but it's still in your heart. Well, the heart and the mind work together. There's the deception. So as your mind changes, your heart changes. As your heart changes, your mind changes. Because they're both connected in that sense. As I know I said it, it says, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. Well, where did the thinking come? From the mind. It's not rocket science. And the enemy just knows how to do it, doesn't he? He knows how to do it. But praise God, he loves us. And even when we do fall, and we do fall sadly, he's there to encourage, get us up, and to carry on in this walk. And you know, one of the things I just break before God, that yes, when we have sinned or we've missed it, how quick he restores us back. How quick he gets us back, when you think about it, on our feet spiritually. It's not long. It's not long. He's there, ready, encouraging, bringing us back, working his life in and through us. It's wonderful. That's the love of God. That's the long-suffering of God. That's the gentleness and kindness of God. And if you're touched by that, you can't help but emulate that. You can't help but treat other people the same with that. Because that's how God has treated and touched you, you see? And yes, people will take it wrong. Yes, they're going to use you sometimes. But at the end of the day, sadly, that's their problem. Don't let it become your problem. Because that's what Satan wants to do. He's a master at that. He's a master at that. No, no, no. God's never saved us to take other people's problems. Yes, we might for a season take the burden, but not the problem. And there's a difference. And how subtle Satan is. How subtle he is. 2 Timothy 1:7. Dealing with the mind, our minds, is God's greatest gift. You all know this one very well. Second Timothy chapter 1 and verse 7. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but what? Of power, of love, a sound mind. It's what he's given to you in what? Salvation. So when you're under attack, there you are, Satan, you're a liar. God has given me love, power, and a sound mind. And I stand on the promises of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We have to see, brothers and sisters, that we actually sin with the mind, the heart. We actually sin. That's where we sin. And let's turn to Psalm 106. Psalm 106. Verses 6 and 7. Psalm 106, verses 6 to 7. We have sinned with our fathers. We have committed iniquity. We have done wickedly. Our fathers in Egypt did not understand your way, wonders. They did not remember the multitude of your mercies, but rebelled by the sea, the Red Sea. Here, we get an understanding that we have sinned with our fathers, we have committed iniquity, we've done wickedly, our fathers in Egypt did not understand your ways, so they didn't understand. What are we talking about? The mind. So they didn't understand your wonders, they did not remember. What are we talking about again? The mind. They forgot, they weren't interested, didn't want to retain it, didn't want to hold it. They did not remember the multitude of your mercies, but rebelled by the sea, the Red Sea. They didn't want to remember how God had been dealing with them, how merciful he was, how gracious. But you see, our minds have that great capacity to remember things. We can remember the past. We can remember what God did. We can remember that when we're going through a trial similar, well, praise God, I'm going to come through this because Jesus got me through it last year. Amen. And if he got me through it last year, he's going to get me through it this year. We remember. It's the mind, you see. And these are all the areas where Satan tries to attack us and stop us. This is why I say... Why is it we go over faith, deeper life, week after week, regurgitating, chewing on the cud? What is it for to remember so we don't forget? Because tragically, when man fell, man's mind fell, and his capacity to remember fell also. So this is why God does what he does. He brings us every week in order to get to our faith, to remember, to go over the word so that we learn these things. And of course, we're always blessed. There's always more that God adds to it anyway, because it's new manna. But it's a wake-up call. This is to prod your memories, to stop your mind from being starved from God, his word, his admonitions, his encouragement, his teaching. It's a prod us, but it's always a wake-up call as well. And this is why, of course, we see many of our brothers and sisters who profess Christ, but they're being starved of the word of God. They're being starved of the word preached under that true anointing, the unction of the Spirit. We're talking about the word that is being directed by the Holy Spirit, the one who wrote his word. That's what I'm talking about. And it's for everyone if you want it. We're no special. We're not different in that sense. It's because we've chosen to sit under such a message. It's what I need. It's what is right. It's what it's want. What I want. It's where I'm going to grow. It's where I'm fed. It's where my mind is going to change. But everybody has that choice. And we've known over these. I've had the privilege of preaching to thousands. But some choose and some don't. That's scripture. Bible. Israel chose. And as a result of it, she perished in the wilderness. Why was it she perished? Because her mind became starved. Was no longer encouraged, stimulated, anointed to continue to feed the inner man. How subtle Satan is. This is why you have to guard your mind. That is the greatest thing you have to guard. The blood of Jesus over my mind right now in Jesus' name. There are times I have to do it. You don't say it out loud, but you can do it in the spirit. God's still hearing your prayers. He still knows the desires of your heart. You know, sometimes you're in a situation, you think, my goodness me, the blood of Jesus over my mind. I have the mind of Christ. I do not receive this. You've just got to do it. You know? Because it's not going to be done for you. And there are a lot of Christians today, oh, God will do it for me. That's what salvation is about. Greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. Well, yes, it is true. But read the whole of the Bible. God said at Calvary, it's finished. It's done. Now you believe it. And then God will work. You always have to meet God halfway. That is what covenant is about. Marriages can only work when couples meet halfway together. And it's the same in our walk with God. It is a covenant relationship. And as you step out that boat and walk on the water, who will you meet? Jesus. Jesus was really teaching Peter something there that day. And the disciples. And when he began to sink, he didn't say, oh, well, you had a go, you know, I'm really proud of you. You know, you had a go, at least you stepped out, the rest didn't. That's how logic, that's how man thinks, that's how we talk. Jesus didn't say that. What are you doing, sinking? Where's your faith? Didn't take him by surprise. See, God deals with us, speaks to us on a completely different level, you see. That's what we need to be attuned to. Not the logic. Not common sense. Yes, there is common sense in the world, but common sense doesn't really apply to the Christian. Not really. Because we do things which can appear to be bizarre. That's why we're peculiar, we're odd. We don't do the norm. The world doesn't walk by faith like we do. The world reacts when things go wrong, whereas the Christian doesn't. The Christian is praising God for the victory. That's not how the world thinks, you see. And that's what he's delivering us from, that mindset, from that mentality, that sometimes we find ourselves falling back into it, don't we? You know? I know it's not easy. It's not easy when you're family and you've got your parents and you've got children. And if your children yet are not saved. It's hard. It's not easy. It's not easy to be spiritual, to be that Christian, and yet you've got to deal with them. Or you've got to deal with them if they're sinning, or whatever it is. And often it's just believing. At times it's just letting go. The hardest thing I can imagine for a parent is to have to let them go through that trial. Because it's no other way. That's not an easy one. Because you want to protect, you want to control, you want to intervene, you want to stop it. Of course you do. And God's saying completely the difference. It's actually you letting go, I can save them. It's true. And we think at times we've let go until God highlights it. You think, no, I thought I had, but I haven't. You know, our anxieties, our fears are still spiritually holding on to that situation or that person or that son or daughter. My very fears are still binding her, him. Oh. We think somehow we're holding on still when we're gripping them or we've locked the door or something like that. No, that's not what holding on is. Holding on is unbelief. Holding on is still fear, anxiety. I haven't let go of it. Gosh, it's 12 o'clock. They're not home yet. You know, I know. My parents were exactly the same, even when I was 30. You know, I knew they still won't sleep till I got in. You know, and I respect, I mean, it's love. I mean, you care. And I'm not saying now that, all right, I'm going to go. You have to be in faith. Faith will know what to do. Faith doesn't completely be irresponsible. But what we are dealing with is the anxiety, the fear that is attached to that. Because Satan still has an access, a hold. How you get delivered from that is how God will work with you. I'm just simply giving a principle, you see. Because parents do have responsibility, of course they do. And even if when your children are grown up, and yes, they're married or have got children and so on, there's still a responsibility, even though they've left the nest. But it's not in fear and anxiety and worry and so on. Because that's a sign you're still holding on. Now, how God delivers you in that, he'll do it. But you have to acknowledge that. Because your mind is still held in certain areas, not free. And all the while our minds are held in certain areas and not free, we're not fully yet hearing what God is saying. Or we don't want to hear yet. We're masters of that. Oh, absolutely masters. We don't want to hear a thing. God, dear. I'm afraid we were born with selective hearing. And that's what we have to get delivered from. And I have to say, from my own sex, that men probably are worse in that area than even women. Men have a real problem with selective hearing. It's something that's just happened in the fall. And that's why a lot of wives, women get very uptight. I know it because I can't do counselling and everything. He just doesn't want to hear. He doesn't want to know. You know, he only wants to hear what he wants to hear. I cannot tell you the times over the years where I've heard that from sisters or from women. Don't hear it quite so much from the men. So I have to put a two and two together and think, yes, it's probably something in our sex we have a bit of a problem with. Not to say sisters don't have problems.
That's right.
Is that amen? Well, there we are. Praise God, he knows. And the Lord's got a good sense of humour, hasn't he? But our minds is God's greatest gift. Value it, brothers and sisters. Because nobody else is going to. It's what God has given you to appreciate him, to walk with him, to experience him and everything and more. Don't let Satan rob anymore. Amen. Father, again, we thank you today. Thank you for our meeting. Thank you for your presence. Lord, we just run out of words. It's such a blessing. And Lord, we just desire and long to see many, many more of our brothers and sisters who say they love you to be here joining us, Father, in fellowship and under your presence, Lord. Lord, we believe. We believe we're moving, Father. We simply look to the cross and there's the answers, Father. And you have said it today. And we just say amen to it. In Jesus' name. Jesus' name.
Jesus is.